game night, not last night, but two nights ago on Friday night. And I don't know about you guys, but I had a great time, and I think a lot of you guys did as well. I was seeing all these different activities going on, and I was stationed at Mega Foods, which got ultra competitive with Ray, Francesca, and Michael Bryan, and I were just going crazy. And one thing that I think I noticed as a whole from all the competitions was just how intense and heated they got. Whether it was going up and playing soccer against me and I was like shoving you up against the side of the wall, Drew Wade, or if you were playing against Katie Andrews on the foosball table, or if you were playing spike ball, yeah, Ryan Leuenberger, or if you were playing spike ball against, who is it, Lewis and Matthew Bates, it got really intense and really heated. And no matter how difficult it was, because I was like, I got kicked in the shins probably like 30,000 times by all your students. So it was painful. But I was squishing you up against the wall and pushing you and like tackling Josiah. And it got really crazy. And no matter how much difficulty it was in the different competitions, whether it's a three-point challenge or the mega foosball or the football or the frisbee, all the different challenges, you guys put a lot of intensity, a lot of care, and you had a lot of determination to do well at what you were doing. And why did you want to do that? It was because there were prizes on the line. We were giving away gift cards that you wanted, or maybe it was just a pride thing to say that you were number one, but there were things on the line that you wanted, so you put a lot of work and a lot of effort into those things. Well, the Bible talks a lot about us being hardworking people. And as opposed to just being hardworking and doing fun things and doing games, the Bible talks about us being hardworking in our day-to-day activities, whether that's our schoolwork or our homework or our chores or our different sports activities. And guess what? If we are hard workers, there is much more at stake than just $5 or $10 gift cards that we can give away at game night. And we need to understand what it means to be a hard worker and work hard, as the Bible says, if we want to be rewarded for it. And one passage that talks about our work is 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. So hopefully you have your Bible and you can open up to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 6 through 12. Just to give us a little bit idea of where we're at in this book of 2 Thessalonians. Maybe you've never even heard of, like, I know it's a mouthful to say Thessalonians. It's complicated. You're like, maybe you've never even read from 2 Thessalonians before. Well, because there's a 2 Thessalonians, that means there has to have been a 1 Thessalonians. You guys are scholars, CBI students in the future right here. I can already tell. There had to have been a 1 Thessalonians. And in 1 Thessalonians, he gave them a lot of instructions. And he was also boasting about this church to other churches in the area, which means that they were doing some great things. But this book of 2 Thessalonians, he hits on two main things that they were struggling with that he wants to address. And one of them was in their work ethic. They weren't working as they were supposed to. So specifically in the verses we're looking at today, we hear his response to them to not be idle and not to be lazy. So let's learn from their example, learn on the instructions to be a hard worker. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting in verse 6. Says this, "Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us." Idleness, that idea of being idle, maybe you've probably never used it before. It's the idea of being lazy, of not doing any work at all. And that is in accord with the tradition that they received. Talking about the first letter, he was saying, hey, be hardworking people. Do the work as you're called to do. And they disregarded. They put off to the side and weren't hardworking. And it was and says here in verse 6, stay away, keep away from any brother who is being lazy, who isn't doing the work that they're called to do. And it continues in verse 7. Stay away from the lazy people, for you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us. Paul's saying, hey, me, myself, and these missionaries, you should imitate us. Why should they imitate Paul and his missionaries instead? Because we were not idle when we were with you. They weren't lazy, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor, we worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. So Paul and the missionaries were staying with the people at this church, and they didn't Paul and the missionaries didn't want to be a burden to the people that were hosting them and make them provide them with the food and with the shelter that they needed. Might beg the question, like, couldn't he have asked for it? Doesn't it say in the Bible that we're supposed to support our pastors and our missionaries? Aren't we supposed to do that? Well, the answer is you're absolutely correct. The Bible talks about for those people who sow spiritual things in our lives, we are to provide for them physical things such as food, such as water, provide for their physical needs. So Paul and the missionaries had absolutely, they had the right to say, hey, could you guys provide for us? We're just preaching the gospel all day. We're just so tired from doing all this work of ministry. They could have done that, but why didn't they do that in this situation? It was because they wanted to give them an example to follow. It was so that those other people, when they're like, oh, I want to be lazy, they would have no excuse to be lazy. Think about it. Paul and his missionaries, all day, they're doing their work of sharing the gospel, doing the hard work each and every day. They must be tired. They could have said, oh, I want to be tired and not want to provide for my physical needs. I'll have someone else do that. But no, they were still diligent in that. So then what about these people at the church? They have no excuse to give for why they should be lazy and not hardworking. He gives them that example to follow. Verse 10, for even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. You're like, whoa, that is a strict man. If you're not willing to work, you shouldn't be able to eat. That's how serious God takes our work ethic. Verse 11, he gives that because we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. You're like, what is this talking about? Busy at work, busy bodies. Well, someone who's busy is doing the task that they have assigned to them. And these people weren't just being idle, weren't just being lazy and pushing off those tasks. This idea of being a busybody is not doing your own work, but being caught up in everyone else's work. It's like, oh, I don't want to do whatever my job is. I just want to talk to other people and distract them and be people who are not unifying. There's a lot of disunity in this church because people weren't focused on their own work. They were getting involved in each other's business. Gossiping about one another is a specific example. Verse 12, he gives us the command of what we're supposed to do. Now, such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Hopefully from this passage, we can see that we are supposed to be people who are to work hard for the Lord, and we're to surround ourselves with people who are hardworking as well. And so we have this sinful flesh in us that wants us to be lazy, doesn't want us to be doing our work, doesn't want us to be reading the Bible. Just, no, I'll just sit on the couch all day today, just scroll through Instagram or scroll through social media, just watch YouTube videos all day. That's what our sinful flesh wants to do. And we live in a world with so many distractions in our way that try to pull us away from doing our work, but we need to put those aside and work hard for the Lord. But in order to do that, we need to understand, why am I supposed to work hard? What is this idea of work? Why is work really that important? Does it even matter? We need to realize the importance of work. And so you can write that down for point number one. Realize the importance of work. And to understand work and its importance, I want us to go back to the very first act of work in Genesis 1. So keep a hand, or if you got those cool nifty bookmarks, keep a bookmark in 2 Thessalonians 3 and turn all the way to Genesis 1. Shouldn't be too hard to find. Just flip all the way to the left or scroll all the way to the top of the Bible. Genesis 1. And let me ask you, since you guys are scholars, know that 1 Thessalonians had to come before 2 Thessalonians. What happened in Genesis 1? Creation. There you go. Yeah. More knowledgeable students. Great. Happened creation, which means that God created things. Let me ask you, does it take work to create stuff? When you're a student, you had to put these Legos together, and it takes work to build something out of Legos or to create anything. It takes work. And so one thing, in order to realize the importance of work, we're going to look at a list of things that will hopefully heighten our view of work and its importance. And so we don't have this as an official subpoint A, but write it down for a subpoint A. God was the first worker. That's what we need to understand. To realize the importance of work, we need to first understand that God was the first worker in Genesis 1:1. For subpoint B, you can write down that work is good. Well, how can I know that work is a good thing? How can I understand that? Well, first, if God is the first worker and God is good, that means that work has to be good. God can't do anything that is evil, that is sinful. That means work has to be a good thing. Even if you're in Genesis 1, flip to Genesis 2:15. Genesis 2:15. It says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it." So God creates man. He creates the entire world, creates man, woman, and Eve on the sixth day, and then he gives them this task to put them in the garden, to work it, and to keep it. Does God command us to do anything that is sinful, anything that is wrong? No, he does not. He only commands us to do good things. So we see that work is good from the very beginning, Genesis 2:15. And another thing that we learn here in Genesis 2:15 is that man was made to work. You can write that down for subpoint C. Man was made to work. We were made to do God's work. And we need to understand that work is a gift from God. You're like, it is? I thought that we had to do all this hard work because of the fall. Because we sin, and so as punishment for our sin, we got to do all these difficult tasks. No, Genesis 2:15, the command to work and to keep the garden, that happened before sin entered the world. We see that work is a good thing and that we are commanded to do. It was not a part of the fall. And if we're people that say, yeah, work really isn't that important, if you're someone who's saying that, you're saying, yeah, God's purpose for me, it doesn't really matter. It's not that important to me. And that is a foolish thing to do. And you're absolutely right that the fall led to an increased difficulty in work. It made it more difficult to work. Genesis 3:19, it says, "By the sweat of your face, you shall eat bread." You're sweating. When do you sweat? It's when you're doing a difficult task. Yeah, the work is going to be hard. "Till you return to the ground, until you die. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Our work is going to be more difficult because of the fall, but that doesn't mean that work is a bad thing. No, it is a good thing, and we are commanded to do it. So let me ask you, are you a hardworking person, or are you someone who is lazy, putting off the tasks that you are supposed to be doing, not doing them to the standard that you should be doing them to? The Bible says that if you are a sluggard, it says in Proverbs 6, you need to go to the ant, oh sluggard. It's like, what is this talking about, the ants? You guys ever had an ant invasion at your house before? Ever? We like have them, I think it's just like a seasonal thing because it gets really hot outside, so they're trying to come inside where it's cooler and get the food. And I remember just like always on the lookout for ants. And you'll like walk downstairs the first day when you're not expecting it, and ants are everywhere. And there's like thousands of them everywhere. And they're just doing their work, working together to get the task completed that they need to get done. You'll like kill a bunch of ants over here and you'll turn around. And there's like 50,000 more ants underneath the table. Like, what am I even doing? It's because ants are so hardworking. And the command in the Bible is, hey, look at the ant. Look at how hardworking these small little ants are. How much more hardworking should we be? And see, a person who is idle is like an ant who like is going rogue, not wanting to do any work at all. But even further than that, someone who is a busybody is like a termite, not an ant. Think about it. What does a termite do? When they get into your house, they destroy and rot the entire house. They eat the inside. You'd look at a bunch of termites and you'd be like, wow, those termites are really busy. They're doing a lot of work, but well, what's the work that they're doing? It's destructive. It's tearing down the structure of your house. And that's exactly the same idea of these busybodies in the church. It looks like they're doing a lot of work. They're talking to people. They're doing all these sort of actions, but the work that they're doing is disunifying. It is causing disunity through the gossip. So are you someone who is not being busy, but is a busybody? Someone who's gossiping about one another, tearing each other down, not building up one another? We're supposed to be in our own work, be working hard at our business and our tasks that we are called to do, and not to tear down one another. Even more than that, in Ephesians 2:10, it says that Christians are made to do good works. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship." We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, it's not saying that, oh, if you work hard, if you do enough good things, if you work hard enough, then you're going to be right with God. No, Ephesians 2, earlier in the chapter, it says, it's by grace that you are saved, and it is not your own doing. So we understand that works don't save us, but as Christians, as a result of our salvation, we are called to work hard for the Lord. That is our task. Man was made to work. Subpoint D, you can write down, is that work is to be done excellently. If you're still in Genesis chapter 2, look back at Genesis 1:31. It's when God is done with all of creation after his 6 days of creating everything. This is what he does in Genesis 1:31. It says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was mediocre." It was subpar. Is that what it says? No, it says it was very good. We can learn from that work is to be done excellently. It's to be done very well, not just at a subpar level. My dad always says, if you're someone who does something mediocre, it's like you're a half a job Bob. Don't be a half a job Bob. God wasn't a half a job Bob when he created the world. He didn't just like create half of it. Like, no, he created the entire thing and he did it excellently. What is the quality of your work? Is it excellent? Or is it, I'll put a little bit of time into it, but I don't really care how good it turns out to be in the end. Work is to be done excellently. Subpoint E. We can learn that rest is good and important. Rest is good and important. Genesis 1:31. Look over to Genesis 2, verses 1 and 2. He says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had finished." So God rested on the seventh day because he was tired, right? Because he just needed a break. It was too difficult to create the entire world, right? No, that's not why he did it. God is omnipotent. He's got all power. It's not difficult for him to create the world, even though from our mental capacity, it's like, yeah, that's impossible. But he's God, so we need to understand that. But he set us an example that we are to follow. Rest is good and important. But we misunderstand the idea of rest. The example of resting on the seventh day is, oh, it's an extra day for you to spend extra devotion to reading your Bible, studying it, and praying to God. That was the purpose of the Sabbath, spending extra devotion in rest by being devoted to the Lord and spending your time doing those spiritual disciplines. We oftentimes think of rest as, oh, that means I just got to take the entire weekend and just play video games all day. Or I just can take pictures on post them on Instagram and see how many likes I get all day, and that's my rest. No, the purpose of rest is to spend extra time being in God's word and studying it and applying it. Also, we oftentimes think that the purpose of our work is so that we can rest, rather than the reason that we have rest is so that we can do more work. Let me put it like this. You might think, oh, I just got done from a long day of school. Now that I'm done with this long day of school, that means I get to just rest and veg for the rest of the day on the couch watching Netflix. Yeah, that's the purpose of the work, so I can just do nothing in the future. Where it's like, no, the purpose of, oh, yeah, I had a long day of school. I can take like 10, 15 minutes to take a nice rest or watch a show for 30 minutes, get some rest so that what? I can go and do my homework excellently so I can continue to do the hard work that God has commanded to. The purpose of rest is to work, not the purpose of work is to rest, and we need to understand that. Subpoint F. In order to realize the importance of work, we need to understand its purpose. So subpoint F, the purpose of work is to glorify God. That is the purpose of our work. We were created to glorify God, and we can do that through our excellence in our work. What is your motivation behind your different tasks in doing your schoolwork? Is it, oh, so that I can get attention? If I get a really good grade on this test, then everyone around me is gonna be like, wow, that kid is smart. Like, that kid is cool. I guess not really cool. That kid's a nerd, but he's smart. So whatever. He's gonna rule the world one day. To get attention, is that the motivation behind our work? To brag about to other people, yeah, I got the best score. I was 8th grade valedictorian. Just bragging about all these different things. Is that your purpose? Is your purpose to work to get to resting? Maybe that's your purpose of your motivation behind working. I just want to chill on the couch and play NBA 2K the rest of the day. Is that your purpose behind working? Maybe it's to get into a certain college, or maybe you don't even care about the excellence of your work. You're just like, I just want to make my parents happy. Just let them get off my back. Don't keep telling me to get good grades. That's the motivation behind me working hard. While not all those things are necessarily bad, the ultimate motivation needs to be to glorify God. And think about it. If the purpose of our work is to glorify God, does that change the quality of our work? Are we going to put so much more effort and intention into our work to glorify God even more? We need to have a high view of God and make it higher each and every single day. And if we have a high view of God, we're going to understand the importance of work, and we're going to work even harder. If you remember the last time I preached, I said that you're never going to hear when someone gets into heaven and they see God. No one's going to say, oh, man, God wasn't as great as I thought he was going to be. I thought he was going to be way up here. He's down here. He wasn't that great. You're not going to hear that. Rather, you're going to hear a lot more of, wow, I thought God was here. He's way greater than I could even have imagined. If we have a higher view of God, it's going to impact how hard we work, because we want to glorify him even more and praise him for how great and high he is. The last subpoint, are we on G now? G, the last one, you'll probably never hear A through G again, is that God rewards and punishes based on how you work. It's a little bit of a mouthful. God rewards and punishes based on how you work. Verse 10 in our 1 Thessalonians passage, there's that command that it's, if you're not willing to work, you should not eat. Is God serious about our work ethic? Imagine if we treated our work the same way that God did. You like got to dinner at the end of the day, and it's like, oh, we're having Taco Tuesday. We're having tacos for dinner. And you're like, Mom, Dad, I know we're having dinner, but I was really lazy today. I was really unproductive. I really don't deserve to eat dinner tonight. Or you get to lunch, and everyone at school is like, well, I didn't really work hard in listening to the teacher. In doing the tasks in class, I really don't deserve to eat lunch today. You're like, no, I would never. You're probably like, I would never do that. Why would I do that? If I'm super lazy one day, or if I'm super productive the next day, I'm just going to eat however. Why does it even matter? Well, maybe we should treat our eating and make it based on how hard we work. Not saying you necessarily have to do that, but that's how serious that we should treat our work ethic. That if we don't work hard, we don't deserve to even have the next meal. Need to not be lazy. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. It's saying, hey, don't grow weary. Don't be tired of doing the hard work in your life, because one day God is going to reward you based on how you work. And once again, I'm not talking about salvation, not talking about being right with God, but heavenly rewards in heaven. He rewards us in that way based on how we work. And if we're not to be lazy, we need to have an eternal mindset. We need to see the big picture and not just think about the here and now. A couple weeks ago, do you guys remember when it was raining for a couple days? When it was raining? I'm not a big fan of the rain because of, like, you can't play sports outside. Unless it's soccer, then you can slide tackle people. And that's better. Or football, I guess. That works too. but I really don't like the rain. But I remember, maybe you guys can picture this with me, you're driving in the car, or you're not driving. You're sitting in the passenger seat like Josiah in the seat next to me. And when it's raining, what do you have to do when you're in the car? Oh, whoa, I just heard like 25 things. Windshield wipers. Yeah, there we go. You need to turn on your windshield wipers so that you can see. And picture Nathan, I'm just driving on the road, and it's sometimes like you like get yourself like caught looking at these windshield wipers. You're just like, they're going back and forth, and you're like, whoa, like look at these like cool shiny things. They're just, wow, they're working so well together. They're doing like a great job. And Josiah's probably like, dude, like get your eyes off these windshield wipers and keep your eyes focused on the road. That's oftentimes the same way that we can treat laziness. Oh, just sitting on the couch all day and doing nothing, that's so shiny, that's so attractive. I definitely want to do that. And we're not keeping our eyes focused on eternity, that what matters more for eternity is being a hard worker, not someone who is lazy. Don't get caught up with the temporal satisfaction of just being lazy. Think of eternity, have an eternal mindset. See, the Thessalonians were not thinking eternally, and if they were, it would have pushed them to work harder. But rather, they were giving all kinds of excuses why they were being lazy. And we need to not give any excuses to our laziness. So for point number two, you can write down, stop making excuses. You need to stop making excuses. Excuse number one that you might give is, I'll do it later. I've got homework to do. I'll do it later. I'll do it in the future. I'm not going to do it right now. I got to do chores right now. 5 minutes, Mom. 5 minutes. You guys know what happens when we say like, oh, 5 more minutes, right? It's like, oh, just 5 more minutes. 5 more minutes on my phone, and then I'll get to work. It turns into 10 minutes. It turns into 30 minutes. Then you've like spent a whole hour just watching cat videos on YouTube, and you're like, wow, I just wasted an entire hour. When we push it off and just say, oh, I'm going to do it later, then we waste so much more of our time. One verse that talks about it is Proverbs 6:10. It says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. It's the idea of like, oh, I know I'm tired, but I'm just going to take a little sleep, just going to doze off for a couple minutes, take a little break. But then in verse 11, it says, if you do that, poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man. You're like, whoa, we just went from 0 to 100 way too fast. I'm just talking about a little break and all of a sudden there's poverty and want coming like this armed man and a robber. But think about it. When does a robber break into your house? Or when do robbers want to break into your house? When you're rich. When you're not, well, when you're rich, that's true. But when... do they send you emails and say, I will be coming next week at 3 o'clock on Friday? Do they send you a phone call? They don't do that. They don't do that. They come when you're least expecting. Just like an armed man. If someone wants to overtake you, when do they want to do it? When you're least expecting it. They don't send you a text. And that's the same thing with the consequences of laziness. There are real consequences for being lazy, and they come when you're least expecting it. So you need to be a hard worker, and don't just push it off to the future. You might think, I don't need to be hardworking right now. I'll just wait until I get into high school, or I'll just wait until I get into college, or I'll just wait until I'm married to be hardworking. That's not how it works. You can't just like wake up one day and say, all right, right now, now that I'm in college, I'm gonna start being a hard worker. No, it takes years of dedication. And if you learn this principle right now in the junior high years, you're gonna like save so much time, and you're not gonna look back at your life with regret for how much time you have wasted. So stop putting off that excuse of I'll do it later. And we need to understand how absurd our excuses are. So turn over to Proverbs chapter 26. Hopefully this passage will make it clear really how our excuses are crazy, they're absurd, and how ridiculous it is for us to make these excuses. Pastor John talked about this passage at our last guy's workshop that we gave, and it really illustrates how our excuses are foolish. Proverbs 26, starting in verse 13, it says this, the sluggard, the idea of that person who's lazy, This is what they say. They say, there's a lion in the road. There is a lion in the streets. You're like, why is this person talking about lions? And what does that have to do with this sluggard? Well, think about it. This lazy person doesn't want to go to work. So he's just trying to think up whatever excuses can come to mind. Oh, I can't go to work because there's going to be a lion in the streets. It's going to attack me. It's going to kill me. It's the classic excuses like, where's your homework? Like, oh, my dog ate my homework. Like, how crazy of are these excuses? It'd be like if your parents said, hey, take out the trash. Well, I can't take out the trash because there's a rabid elephant in the driveway that's going to come and attack me. It's like, what are you talking about? Like, you have no idea what you're saying. But these are the kinds of excuses that we oftentimes give. Maybe not those exact ones, but we need to see how absurd our excuses are. And yet we're so quick to make them. Excuse number two that we might give is that I'm tired. I need more sleep. I need more rest. I can't do my chores. I've had a long day. I'm tired. I had a long day of school, so I don't need to read my Bible today. I'll push it off to tomorrow. I can wait till then to do it. Look the next verse at Proverbs 26:14. It gives us a vivid image of someone who is lazy. It says, as a door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed. You know the hinges on a door, how they just open and shut? That's exactly like a lazy person in bed. They just turn back and forth. They won't get out of bed. They're just going to stay in bed, turning back and forth all day. That is what a lazy person is like. Even more so in verse 15, the sluggard buries his hand in the dish and it wears him out to bring it back to his mouth. Remember what Pastor John said at the guys' workshop for you guys that were there? It's like, imagine you get downstairs and you got your bowl of cereal and you got Frosted Flakes or whatever. And a sluggard sticks his hand in his cereal, too tired to go get a utensil or whatever. And he's so lazy. It's so much work just to bring it back to his mouth. That is what a lazy person is like. I'm not saying that there's not a right time to rest and not a right time to sleep. But I don't think that we're spending ourselves so much that it's like, oh man, I've got so much on my plate that I need to take more time to rest. I think it's vice versa. We need to take more time to do work. We oftentimes like to cover up our laziness with the excuse of tiredness. If I was like, hey, if a sibling asked you, hey, can you do one of my chores today? Like, I've got something going on. Can you do these chores for me? You might give the excuse of, wow, I've been doing chores all day. I'm so tired. I've got so much on my plate. I'm way too tired to do that. But if that same sibling said, hey, do you want to play video games with me? You wouldn't be like, oh, dude, I'm so tired. I'm way too tired to go play video games. Or if a friend asked you to help them with homework, I'm just so tired. I had so much homework today. I can't come over and help you with homework. But if that same friend said, hey, do you want to go to Disneyland? Would you be like, nah, sorry, I'm just way too tired. I'm just super tired. I just need to veg out on the couch for the rest of the day. I'm too tired. No, oftentimes we use tiredness as an excuse based on if we really want to do the task or not. Which brings us to another excuse for our laziness, which is work is boring. I don't want to do X, Y, or Z. I don't like it. And the Bible doesn't say that we're supposed to work hard on things that we like and not work hard on things that we don't like. No, it's work hard at everything. And if we remember our purpose, the purpose of our work, to glorify God, and if we think in those terms and talk in those terms, it'll change our perspective on our work. Let me give you an example. If I said, hey, Drew Wade, you have to do a boring task. You got to clean out the toilets. He's going to be like, ah. I don't like that. I don't want to clean out the toilets. But if I said, hey, Drew Wade, can you clean out the toilets for God? Then all of a sudden it's like, wow, for God? Doesn't sound so boring after all. I actually want to do it kind of well. Or maybe it's like, hey, Brayden, I need you to run laps in PE. Oh, I've got to run laps around the field in PE. I don't want to do that. But it's like, hey, Brayden, I want you to run laps in PE for the Lord. All of a sudden, it's, wow, I get to do it for God. We need to treat our task, every task that we do, as if it's for God. Colossians 3:23 talks about. It says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. This passage is right after it talks to specific instructions for men, for women, for children, for bond servants, and then it culminates in whatever you do, whether you're a junior hire, whether you're a college student, whether you're married, whether you are retired, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Turn in your paper with excellence as if you are turning it in to God. Imagine if your teacher said, you've got that paper due next Friday, and we've got a substitute teacher, and it's Jesus, and he's going to be grading your papers. I bet that when you get home and start writing that paper, that you're going to take so much more effort and care into that paper. Oh, it's got to be 5 pages? I'm going to write 10 pages just because I feel like it. Oh, only 5 sources that I need to cite? I'm going to do it even better too, because I'm going to turn it into Jesus and he's going to grade it. Maybe that's how we need to think of our tasks, think of our work more as if it is for the Lord. Another excuse is that I can find an easy way to do my task. I can beat the system. I can rig it. I can be lazy and accomplish the same thing as someone who works hard. I'm smart. I can beat the system. Proverbs 26:16. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than 7 men who can answer sensibly. So this lazy person thinks he's so smart, smarter than 7 wise individuals. And I get it. There's a time for efficiency. There's a time for innovation don't work, like do something in a more efficient way. But we can't use that as an excuse to not work hard. Maybe it's like, oh, I can outbeat the system of doing my homework. Let's just divide up the homework between us 5, and then we'll all come to school the next day, share our answers, and then boom, got the laziness, did the same task, beat the system, got it down. No, that's being lazy. It's like, oh, you got to do the vacuum? Does anyone have to vacuum at home? Yeah? I got a vacuum at home. Am I going to beat the system and go around all the stuff? Or are you going to pick up the stuff like your mom always tells you to do? Pick up the stuff and then vacuum underneath it. You're going to try to outbeat the system, or are you going to work hard as your parents commanded you to do? Another excuse is that my work doesn't make an impact. It doesn't matter. It won't matter in the long run. Was a similar excuse to what some of the Thessalonians were making, was that, oh, my work doesn't matter in the long run, because they were thinking, oh, Christ is going to return at any moment, which is true. Christ can come back at any moment. So if he's going to come back, he must be coming back soon, so I can just chill out, because who cares what I do now, because Christ is just going to return, so my work doesn't matter in the long run. You're like, okay, maybe that makes sense. I'm not really sure. But if you think about it, if Christ can return at any moment, doesn't that create more urgency to do our work well? If Christ can return at any moment, does that create a level of urgency to work hard in sharing the gospel with that friend at school? Does it create more urgency to make sure that you know the Bible and that you're applying it as it tells us to do? We need to have more urgency about Christ returning, because our work can make an impact and it does matter. And I know that at this age range, it's hard to be a hard worker. And I know that stereotypically, guys specifically, are people who tend to be lazy, tend to be not hardworking. Think about it. John gave a message at the last guy's workshop about being a hard worker and not being lazy. Have you done anything different at all? Or have you been just as lazy as you were before, guys? Ladies, I'm not going to let you off the hook either. You might think, I don't have to be a hard worker because that's the guy's job. The men are supposed to be the workers. I can just sit on the couch, look like a pretty princess, and not have to do anything. No. Oftentimes you hear, I want to be a Proverbs 31 woman, right? I want to be a Proverbs 31 woman. I want to be those characteristics of that woman I want to be like. Well, Proverbs 31:27 says that she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. This Proverbs 31 woman isn't someone who's lazy, but is diligent to do the tasks that need to be done. So may that be characteristic of you. Work hard and stop making excuses. And guess what? 1 Corinthians 15:33 says that you become like the people that you are around. It says bad company ruins good morals. If you surround yourself with lazy people, if your closest friends are lazy, are sluggards, guess what? It's going to be the same thing for you as well. Be someone who isn't close with lazy people, but be someone who imitates hardworking people. So you can write that down for the third point. Imitate hardworking people. If I was to ask you, who is someone that you want to be like someday? Or who is someone that you're trying to copy so that one day you can be like them? Think in your head right now, what are some names that you would give? Some that you want to be like. Maybe it's an athlete. Maybe it's a comedian. Maybe it's an actor or an actress or a social media influencer. Maybe it's these kind of people. Now think about that person. Are they someone who is hardworking or are they lazy? Let me take it one step further. Are they someone who is godly or sinful? Because guess what? There's a lot of people out there in the world that are diligent at doing whatever they're supposed to do, but the thing that they are hardworking at is sinful. And guess what? God is not pleased with people working hard at a sinful task. God wants us to be working hard at things that are good, things that he's commanded us to do. Philippians 3:17, Paul once again is writing, and he says, "Brothers, join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example that you have in us." Copy those people around you that are hardworking. And one super specific example is that you've got very hardworking leaders. Copy and imitate them. I got a really specific example of this from after game night. We had all this stuff on campus, right, that we had to clean up. And I was going outside to clean up, to get rid of all the trash that we put. And we had that big Megafoos inflatable out on the courtyard, right? And the task that I had to do is I had to take it from the courtyard and put it in the gym. And it's pretty heavy. It's a lot of work. And guess what? I had like four. I had like Ray, Drew Wade, Nick Barnett, and Lewis be like, "Hey, what can we do to help? Whatever you need done, we're gonna do it." And so they were like lifting up this massive thing and carrying it into the gym. And they stayed around until everything was cleaned up. "Yeah, whatever you need to do, I'm gonna work hard to make sure that this event gets cleaned up." That was a specific example that I saw of your leaders being hardworking. And guess what? As difficult as this might be to hear, your leaders have a lot more on their plates than you do. They've got a lot more stuff going on in their lives. They've got kids to take care of. Some of them are you to take care of. They've got jobs. They've got so much stuff going on. So learn from them. Imitate their hardworking example. Ask them, "How are you able to work so hard at all these different tasks?" Learn from their wisdom. And then once you learn from their example, be an example to those people around you. Then you be the example to your friends, to your friend group, to those kids at school that don't want to do work. Be the example to them. You might be like, "But I'm just a junior hire, Nathan. Nobody looks up to me." Well, you're absolutely right. No, I'm joking. It's not true. Just because you're a junior hire doesn't mean that you can't still be an example to other people around you. 1 Timothy 4:12. "Let no one despise you for your youth." It's this idea of don't let anyone look down at you because you're so young. Have you ever had like an adult like talk to you as if you were like 5 years old? Like, "All right, so this is how you're supposed to do it, guys." And you're like, "Stop like treating me like a child. Like, I'm not like 2 years old. I understand how like to open the refrigerator." Like just when someone talks down to you, we don't like that. It says, "Hey, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set the example for the Christians," what? "In speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity." Does watching your words take work? Being careful with the words that you say, does that take effort? Absolutely. You can set the example to those around you by putting in the work to watch the words that you say. In speech, in conduct, in love? Is loving others a difficult thing? Is it a challenge? Does it take work? Does it take effort to love other people sacrificially? Absolutely, it takes work. But are you going to set the example to those around you by being hardworking in loving others? In faith, in purity, does it take work to be pure? Absolutely, it does. You can set the example to those around you by being someone who is godly, doing what the Bible commands us to do. Imitate hardworking people in your lives and then be that example to those around you. And guess what? Working goes beyond our schoolwork, beyond our homework, beyond our sports, beyond our chores. The best work that we can do is by sharing the gospel to others. And in the Bible, it often talks about sharing the gospel in working terms. And one example of that is in Colossians 1:28 through 29. Paul, once again, is writing and saying, "Him we proclaim," talking about Christ, "warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ." He's sharing the gospel. He says, "For this, proclaiming the gospel, I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me." This idea of toiling and laboring for the gospel, we need to put in the work to do that to those around us. We oftentimes can feel like our work is pointless, like we're not getting anywhere. Have you ever done a task where it's like, this isn't accomplishing anything? Well, let me introduce you to a guy whose name is Ted Rath. He is a coach on the Los Angeles Rams. And when the game starts, this is his only job, is when the coach is about to run into the referee, he just pulls the coach back. That's all he does. Kind of feel bad for this guy, but that's all he does. Oh, coach is getting too close to the ref. I'm just going to pull him back a little bit. Do you think that he comes to work some days like, I'm not doing anything. Like, I'm not accomplishing anything. What is the purpose of my job on Sundays? But guess what? When those coaches get into the film room and they're watching the plays of the football game and they see every single time he pulls back the coach from hitting the ref, because hitting the ref, even if it's on accident, it's a penalty. Every single time the coach hits a ref, it's a penalty. So every time he saved him from a penalty, you think that guy is gonna get rewarded for doing his job well and saving them from doing these penalties. No matter how monotonous or how simple the work in your life may seem to be, you need to work hard for the Lord because he will reward it. One last verse that talks about it. 1 Corinthians 15:58. "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." If you work hard for the Lord, it's not done in vain. It's not pointless. It's not without meaning or without purpose. God is going to reward you for your work. God knows. He sees everything that you do. He sees your motives. He sees your actions. He sees your thoughts. So work hard for the Lord and surround yourself with people who will do the same. I know we're right in the middle of school season. What a great time to apply this message to our schoolwork. Let's pray. Dear God, I pray that we would understand the importance of work, the purpose behind it, that we wouldn't see it as monotonous or boring, but that we would understand that it is to bring you glory. I pray that that would change our mindset of when we are doing our tasks, that we wouldn't make excuses to be lazy and to sit on the couch and not do anything all day, but that we would be diligent to do what you have called us to do, which is to work hard in our tasks. We ask all these things in your son's name. Amen.